today we're going to start a new series which we entitled The First and the Second Coming of Christ. You see, that is very important. So I hope that you are sharing right now. You click share because it is also timely because it's December, it's Christmas season, and we want to bring to you the real message of Christmas.
Yes.
Although we know that Jesus was not born on December, okay, you can never find that in scriptures, but the significance is that did Jesus, you know, was the story of Jesus true? Yes, it happened.
Yes.
And we want to give you the context of that narrative, of that story. So you can call, some calls this topic the nativity of Christ,
yes,
or the birth of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But we want you to see a bigger picture. We don't want to stick on the story of his birth, but that is very important because that's foundation. You know the purpose of his coming must be emphasized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the thing is this: we want you to see a bigger picture that. And we don't want to stay on the story of the nativity or the birth of Christ. We want to go beyond that. Okay, why do we want to go beyond that? Because it's the nativity is already done. Okay,
and it's too common.
Yes, right. And every year we celebrate Christmas. People talk about his birth in the manger.
Yeah,
and
which is good.
Yeah, except for Santa Claus and the green little creatures.
Grinch?
The assistant.
Yeah, that's
of
not
the
what
Santa
Christmas
Claus
is all about.
Yeah, that's the deceptive part, okay? And other things, okay? But the thing is this. Every year we used to celebrate the birth of Christ and then also the death of Christ. Okay, what month is that?
March, April,
somewhere
eighth.
There, okay.
Yeah, somewhere there.
What do we call that here?
Holy Week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Black Friday.
Oh,
Black Friday was
right. Yeah. So we celebrate the birth and the death of Christ.
Wow.
Okay, every year. But it seems the most important part is not his birth and death, but the significance. What has that those events accomplished for us? For our benefit, okay? And the thing is that Jesus is coming soon, okay?
Indeed.
That's very important, okay? So we want you to be aware. We want to bring awareness by this series that we entitled The First and the Second Coming of Christ, okay? So, but we cannot skip the first part, which is the birth of Christ. So we are going to first tackle the nativity of Christ. Okay, so this part is announced by an angel and then followed by other angels which they celebrate by singing, you know, they praise God. And so I could say this nativity story in the book of Luke chapter 2 is something that was announced by the angels. Remember, angels, they came from heaven, okay? So they know who this Christ that was born 2,000 years ago, okay?
Yeah.
So let's read that. Let's begin with Luke chapter 2. Okay, beginning from verse 1, it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world." This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria.
Yeah.
Verse 3, "And everyone went to their own town to register." Verse 4, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David." He went there to register with who?
Mary.
With Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting
a child.
All right. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. So before we continue, let's first talk about 1 to 5. Okay, verses 1 to 5. So you see, there was an issued decree that everyone must register, okay, for a census. And so, as we read, Joseph, Mary went where? To Bethlehem, okay, to the town of David, because Joseph belonged to the house, the line of David. So both of them are from that line, okay? Meaning to say, from the line of Judah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why Jesus is called the line of Judah. Now, why am I trying to emphasize this? Because some people say that Jesus was not a Jew. Okay.
Yeah, no. I heard something like this on social media, so I think it's about time that we address this.
All right. Look, huh? The parents, okay, the stepdad and the mother, okay, they were Jewish, all right?
They were.
Okay, so they belong to the tribe of Judah. How can they not be how can Jesus not be a Jew?
Man.
Come on, think about that. Common sense. So those people who say that Jesus is not a Jew is a liar.
Yeah.
They're lying, they have no proof. You know, they're going to stand on Judgment Day one day. And you see, why do they say Jesus is not a Jew? Because they wanted to tell the world that Jesus belonged to their religion.
Oh, man.
And it's not right.
That's not real.
Okay, that's not true. Okay, everybody knows, even if you don't use the scripture, you know that he was born where? In Bethlehem. All right? Jesus was and is a Jew by birth, physical birth, biological birth, and that's the thing. Okay, he's a Jew. He's an Israeli. Okay, all right. So let's continue now. Verse 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Verse 7, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Okay, she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. All right. So to those of you who went to Israel and visited the place which they call Bethlehem, okay, there was this village there before. It was a hill.
Yeah.
And then below that hill is what they call Ephrata.
Ephrata, yeah.
Ephrata, or in English it means fertility, or what does it mean again? I forgot. Fertility or productivity. What does Ephrata means again, Siddharth? Fertility.
Fruitful.
Fruitfulness. Okay, that's the right word.
Yeah.
Fruitfulness.
Thank you.
Right. So, you see...
From Ephrath. That's the word.
Yes, fruitful. From the word Ephrath. Okay, so there was this village on top. The last picture that they had, historical picture, was during World War I. But in that village, there were about, as far as I can remember, about 300 families. Okay, in Bethlehem. So imagine everybody returned home.
So it's a really small town.
Yes, it's a small town. It was a fence. Okay, and then below that is the Ephrata.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, there were everybody went back to register. So imagine the people who were already living there, plus the people who went home. Mm. Okay, there was no room. Okay. And then at the same time, Mary was about to give birth.
Oh.
And so there was no room. So they need to look for what?
Find an inn. A place to stay, yes.
Yes, it's an inn. But the inns during that time were actually they were caves.
Mm.
Okay, they were caves where people can sleep. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the thing is that it doesn't look like our hotels and motels and today. No, it doesn't look like that. In fact, the manger is not a stable, okay, but an underground chamber used for food storage and to keep themselves warm. Okay, again, let me elaborate on that. This manger is not a stable, it's not a shelter for animals, it's not a trough or a feeding trough. Okay? It's not an open box for animals to eat from. It's not even a place or a container from which cattle and horses feed. No, it's not. Mm. Okay? So, it's an underground chamber. So, we went to Nazareth. And in the, you know, beneath the house, there is a manger. They call it manger. It's a cave. Why? Because during winter, okay, it's so cold.
Yeah.
Even the people who lives in the area, you know, they can feel the coldness of winter. Okay.
It's
so
freezing.
What do? They go on the in shelter. The manger. In an underground chamber with yeah. their ships, with their animals.
The animals.
So to keep everybody warm, mm. okay? And then the same place where they store their food, mm. okay? It's like a mini refrigerator, okay? So you can preserve your food, okay? Yeah. It's an underground chamber. So that's how it looks like, okay? Mm. So now let's continue. Where are we? Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. Okay, so now you can imagine if there is, this is the hill, the village is there. Below that is what? Ephrathah. Okay, so the shepherds were actually situated in the Ephrathah. They're just below. Okay, and then if you are in the Ephrathah, you can see the village up there. It's really close, okay? So why are these shepherds staying in the Ephrathah at night? You know why? Because they are guarding their sheep, and because it's not winter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not winter. Because if it's winter, what do?
Yeah.
They go to the what? The manger,
yeah.
to the underground chamber. But because it's not winter, so therefore it's not December. Okay? It's not December. So, because it's not December, so, you know, it's not cold. So, they're in the fields.
Open.
Yes, in the open. And so, they're guarding. Maybe they're fellowshipping with other yeah. shepherds. And then, all of a sudden, an angel came. Okay? Mm. So, now... Verse 9, an angel of the Lord, okay, while the shepherds were guarding the flock at night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, okay, they were afraid. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.
Oh,
okay. So what kind of joy is that? Verse 11, today, okay, this is what the angel said. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah. Okay, Savior, Messiah, the same. Okay, it's a Jewish term for the Moshiach, Messiah. He said, He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now listen to this. Who said this?
The angel.
The angel. From heaven. Came down and appeared to the shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks at night in Ephrathah. Okay? Just below Bethlehem. And the angel said, today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.
The Lord.
Okay, again, what? Lord, Messiah, Savior.
Wow.
Wow. Verse 12. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a
manger.
Manger. Okay, again, it's not a stable. It is an underground chamber. So that's the tip, okay? If you find the baby lying in a manger, because that is not a common thing. In a manger where the baby, you don't give birth in a manger.
Yeah.
Okay. But that time, it's unique. Why in the manger? I'll tell you why. Because you see, every year where the high priest, you know, in Israel they have a Passover.
Okay, a celebration.
During the month of Nisan.
Yeah.
Pesach. P Pesach. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's pronounced as Pesach. It's a Passover. Okay, and they choose a spotless lamb. Where does the priest go to, you know, to pick the sacrificial lamb? In a manger.
Whoa.
Okay?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, why in a manger? Because it is where those spotless animals were gathered, mm-hmm. okay? They were stored there, they're there, so that when the priests go, they examine, they check if the animal doesn't have a defect. Yes,
yeah,
that's right. So, and then after checking that, they bring it out and check again at the, I forgot the place, okay? But they're going to check them again, where, and then once it's... it passed the test, then it will be
sacrificed. Wow.
For the sin offering of Israel. That day, okay, the king, the Messiah, the ultimate sacrifice, okay?
Wow.
The sin offering was born on the same spot.
Where the sacrificial lambs.
In Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
The parallel.
Yes. But this is not a lamb that's the from a cattle, okay?
Yeah,
but
this
is the Lamb of God. Mm. The perfect sacrifice. Why? Because he must be a human being to represent human beings. Okay? So when Jesus died on the cross, he represented mankind.
Mm.
The entire humanity. Why? Because he's perfect. He's 100% human. Okay, so remember this. That's why it's called Son of Man, because he is 100% human. He's also called Son of God because he is 100% God.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to leave his deity, his godhood in heaven, so he can become man to walk among us, so that he can represent us on the cross. But the difference is this. He had no biological father. Okay? Mary, the child that she conceived is actually from the Holy Spirit. Okay, you must read the Bible. Now we're doing shortcuts now. So the thing is this: when Jesus was born, he was born without sin.
Mm.
Okay.
Wow.
Because sin, you have to. Get it, okay? You have to, ano yung mana? You have to inherit it.
Yeah.
It was passed down from the fathers,
yeah.
Okay? Down the line, okay?
Including us.
Yes, that's why if you read Romans chapter, I think chapter 5 verse 12, mm-hmm. maybe it's there somewhere, okay? Can you check that out? It says that even from the time of Abraham to the time of Moses, even up to the present time, all have sinned. Why? Is it there?
Romans 5.
Can you read that one?
Where? What verse? 7?
Maybe 12.
Therefore, just as sin came into the world with one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men. Because all has sinned.
Okay. Next.
For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law.
Okay, verse 14.
Yet death reigned from
Adam
to Moses.
To Moses. Even
over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come.
Okay, so on and so forth. So we will not continue with that. So the thing is that even in the Old Testament, from the first man, Adam, okay, because sin started with Adam and Eve, okay, because they cannot pay for their sins, so the sin was passed down the line, okay? So they ate from the fruit of good and evil, so they have...
Disobeying God.
Yes, so the sons... Who were the two sons?
Cain and Abel.
Cain and Abel, one is good and one is evil. Okay, from the fruit of good and evil. So you understand, it's the fruit and the sin that was passed down from generation to generation until today, because it was passed through fathers. But Jesus was not born through a biological father. So that makes
him sinless.
Sinless, right. He's sinless, all right?
Wow.
So again, going back, where were we? Verse
10. We just finished 10.
10?
A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.
Yes. 11. That's 11.
Yes. Yeah,
okay. Never mind. Let's continue now to verse 13. So I at least you have the background. Verse 13, it says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. Okay, with the angel who made that announcement. Mm-hmm. And said, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, come on, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they knew that God sent an angel to announce to them, to tell them about the birth of the Messiah,
the Savior,
and the Savior and the Lord. Okay, verse 16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Okay, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, meaning to say, they evangelized.
That's the good news.
Yes.
Spread the good news. Correct. All around.
So I hope all of you who just heard the gospel for the first time, and maybe some of you refreshers
course.
You know what? Share the word.
Yeah.
Okay. Just like what these
shepherds
did, okay? So verse 18, it says, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
Amazing.
All right. So that's good news, right? So what do you think?
Wow.
About Luke chapter 2.
Man, I think we're having fun. Yeah. I hope maybe this is your first time hearing all of this. Mm-hmm. Because maybe you think about Christmas, all about gifts and Santa.
Uh-huh.
Well,
this is the greatest gift ever.
Boy,
okay?
Yeah.
The greatest gift of all is Jesus.
Yeah.
He was given by God. He was sent to die in our place. And remember this, everything that had happened in the Old Testament were just a typification. Okay, of what is to come. It's like a shadow, so we know that when the real thing comes, you have an understanding. What do I mean by that? Remember Abraham. He was told by God, Abraham, give me the one you love.
Oh, Isaac.
Yes, Isaac. Okay, but you know, he was given instruction, go to this place, go to this mountain called Moriah, and offer your son there.
Oh.
Okay, and then they went. And he told his servants, stay here, okay, while me and my son will worship, and then we will return. But actually, in his mind, he cannot tell his wife what he was about to do, what God told him, because I believe the wife, the mother of Isaac, will not allow it, okay? Because they've been waiting, and now he has the son, and his only son.
And Sarah gave birth to Isaac when she was old.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
He was a miracle child.
Miracle child, and then you're gonna kill it? So you see, there's a big problem if the mother or the wife, Sarah, would, you know that. So they went up to Moriah.
Mm-hmm.
They traveled, went up to Moriah, and if you read the story, it's in Genesis. What chapter is that? I forgot. But here's the thing. The place where Abraham offered his son Isaac, and you know the story, the Lord sent an angel and said, stop, don't do it, okay?
Yeah.
Because it's a typification, so that Abraham would understand or would know that Jesus will be sent and we will be offered as a sacrificial offering, okay? But the thing is this, remember the place, it's called Moriah.
Whoa.
It's called Moriah, all right? So if you look back in the Old Testament, the Bible says that the first sin was committed is in the middle of the garden. Okay, there were two trees in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge
of good and evil.
Of good and evil, and the tree of life.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, going back to Abraham and Isaac, it's the same place.
That's in Genesis 22.
Yes, we were in Israel. Yeah, all right. We were in Israel, and our guide told us that there were four streams underneath where we were standing. Mm. That is why there was the sweetheart. I forgot again.
Call a friend.
There was a place there where Hezekiah dug, and there is a stream underneath that he hid during a war. Where was that place again? Is she there?
No, she ain't.
Okay, so Hezekiah's tunnel. What was that? Six. Maybe that's the term. So anyway, can you try to search that? Okay, so we were there, and they said there was the stream. That's why until today, okay, there is a stream flowing there.
Hezekiah's tunnel.
Yeah, or Hezekiah's tunnel.
Siloam tunnel.
Siloam, yeah. The Siloam, you see, on top there is a pool.
Mm.
Used to the pool where the blind was, the Lord opened the eyes of the blind.
Yeah.
So down the tunnel going up, but there is a four streams, our guide told us. Okay, so now I am not well versed with that.
The geography.
Yes, but it seems like the garden before, the Garden of Eden is right there. Also, in Moriah.
Yes.
And underneath Moriah,
interesting,
there is a flow of water going four streams, four directions. Amazing. Okay? So I said, whoa. So when we were in Israel, the scripture that we were reading, the letters were like coming to life. Now it makes sense.
Mm.
Okay? So later, listen, remember the word Moriah. Okay? So Moriah. Let's now go to Matthew chapter 2. I hope you're learning a lot, guys, because this is something you cannot learn anywhere. Okay? Maybe yeah. You can learn this in a Jewish, maybe in a Bible school.
Bible study.
Okay? Maybe Bible study too. But it's different when you walk where Jesus walked, or when you...
Where you're there.
Yeah.
Where it happened.
Yes. Yes, because now you're seeing it. And, whoa! So it's real, okay? So anyway, let's go to Matthew chapter 2.
Matthew 2.
Verse 1. You'd like to read it?
All right. So after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Now in verse 5, "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'"
Wow. Okay, so again, this is the same with Luke chapter 2, but now we're reading in Matthew chapter 2.
Another perspective,
yes,
another gospel. So
the other angle, okay, because the Luke chapter 2 talks about the angel announcing the good news to the shepherds who were watching the flock, okay? Mm-hmm. But this... At this point, this is from the angle of the
king.
Of the king, of King Herod, who was told about the star.
Yeah.
Okay, that points to the birth, to Bethlehem. Now look, this is not a star like a sun that you know that was pulled to the earth because it's gonna burn all of us, all of them, okay, during the time. But just imagine there's a significant star up there with this strong spotlight.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway,
amazing.
So where? But the place is huge. So the king asked, "Where?" What's that again? "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" So remember this. they were expecting the priests, the religious people, the teachers of the law. They knew about the prophecy that there's going to be a Messiah, King of the Jews, who's gonna be born
in Bethlehem.
In Bethlehem.
Wow.
Okay. So, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, okay, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So remember this. The angel said, good news.
Yeah.
Okay. A baby was born. He was born what? As a Messiah.
Yeah, Savior, Lord.
Savior, Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then now, King of the Jews.
Wow.
And then king who will rule, okay, says, will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.
Mm, that's Micah 5:2.
Yes. So, let's read Micah 5:2. But you, okay, remember, this is where the teachers of the law, the priests, are quoting from, okay? Micah chapter 5 verse 2, it says, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Wow. What do we mean by that? It means that before he was born, he was already there. He already existed from ancient times. When you say, you don't know. I mean, he's alive.
Yeah.
He existed before he was born.
Wow.
Okay? But the thing is this. Listen, though you are small among the clans of what? Judah. Jesus is a Jew.
Ahem.
All right? Jesus is a Jew. He cannot have other religions, okay?
Yeah.
But the real one, okay? Now, I'm not going to talk about that, but the real one is the one that his father established even during the time of Adam. Remember his sons, they have this altar. The other one offered God the vegetables, okay? The other one, the lamb, okay? So, okay, that's another story. But the thing is that, it's a worship of a monotheistic God, okay? Mm-hmm. That there's only one God.
Mm.
Anyway, going back to our story, this was the prophecy about the birth, the nativity of the Christ. He's not just a Savior, he's a King.
Wow.
He's a ruler, okay? Besides from being the Messiah, the Savior, he's Lord, he's King, and he's the ruler of Israel. Meaning to say, he's the right one. He's the one that we're waiting for.
Oh, yes.
Because all the governments on planet Earth, you know, is corrupt. I'm telling you that.
Yeah.
Okay? You can vote for a new leader, you know, corruption is, I'm not saying that the top leadership is corrupt.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not declaring that. What am I trying to say is this, is that the system, okay, the political system, okay, is corrupt. That's why corruption in every country, there is no true integrity, no righteousness. There's, okay, it's a mess.
It is.
When Jesus comes, when the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings will come and establish his millennial kingdom, listen to this, that will be the only time or the beginning where we are going to experience real peace. Okay, he's the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
And righteousness in the government.
Mm.
I like the song of Paul Wilbur. And of the increase of...
of your government.
Your government. There shall be no end. How? But okay, remember, let's go back to our topic because...
you're getting a little bit excited.
Yes,
there.
Yeah. Anyway. So, the thing is that this prophecy, Micah chapter 5 verse 2.
Yeah.
Okay, is fulfilled already.
In Matthew 2.
In Matthew 2 and in Luke chapter 2.
Yeah.
It happened around 2,000 years ago. Okay. So Jesus was born, and guess what? Israel, or the Hebrews, or the Jewish people missed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not all, okay?
Okay.
Not
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
But the, some of the people in Israel, in the modern Israel right now, I think 80% are secular Jews, mm-hmm. okay? Meaning to say they're not religious, they're not, you know, they're in the middle, okay? Yeah. The religious group, they are the men in black, okay? The more than Pharisees and but the other wing anyway, I'm not gonna talk about politics.
Demographics.
Yeah, but the thing is this: I want you to understand that the Bible, everything written in the Bible, okay, some came to pass and some are about to happen.
Whoa.
And ever since, okay, the Old Testament, from generation to generation, the Bible, you can really say that it's flawless, okay? That things happen according to what is written in the book.
Yeah.
That's why I want you to take heed. I want you to take it seriously, the scriptures, because what the Bible predicts, what the Bible prophesies about today and the future is also written. Until the end, you know who will win in the end. What's gonna happen? It's all in the Bible.
Yes.
Okay. So, but that is not our topic. But I hope you are going to follow through by, you know, join us again next week. By the way,
don't tune out.
Yeah, because don't miss the series. Okay, because we start with the birth of Christ and we will end up with the second coming of Christ.
Wow.
I'm not going to talk about, I'm not going to focus on rapture because the rapture will happen, but we don't know when. Okay, it's very clear in scriptures. Jesus said, no one knows.
Yeah.
Not even
the angels.
Yes, correct.
Only the Father knows.
Yes. So how can we know? Okay. So let us not.
Stay tuned. Don't miss that.
Yes, right. Right. So you can also read Acts chapter 1, verse 7. So if you want to add from Matthew 24 that no one knows, Acts 1, 7. Okay. It is not for you to know the dates and the times.
Not our business.
None of our business. Okay. Our business is to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom.
Just like the shepherds did.
Yes, correct. So this is why we're having this series, because we believe this is important. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, He said, commission. And the gospel of this kingdom shall be preached into all the nations as a witness, and then the end will come. That is our business. It's not computing when would Jesus come to take us to himself.
No.
We cannot know. Okay, so I guess if you say, I know Jesus is gonna come on this year, etc., that's false teaching, because it's either Jesus is wrong or you are wrong. Okay, and Jesus said no one knows.
How
can you be right? Okay, Jesus said he's gonna come on the time where you don't expect it. So if you're expecting him on that very day, then he's not gonna come on that day because you're expecting it. And Jesus said when no one expects it. Wow. So we need to be ready at any time. Okay.
Anytime.
But we must not preach is Jesus gonna come on this day before this. No, look, focus on the task. Okay.
Yeah.
Let God be God. Give God the right to choose when he's gonna come again. Okay. All right. Okay. So if you ask me, where do I know when Jesus gonna come? My answer is yes and no. No, because Jesus said no one knows. But yes, because Jesus said only the Father knows. So when will Jesus come? When the Father says it's time. Okay, then he will come. All right. So.
Wow.
Short so that's
answer
it.
For a long-debated question.
That's right. So it is very clear in the scriptures that we read to you that the Lord Jesus was born king. And he was born Lord. And he was born Savior or Messiah. And he was born ruler who will shepherd Israel.
Yep.
Okay? So that is the story of Christmas. That is the context of the nativity of the birth of Christ. Okay? It's the birth of the king. The birth of the sin offering. All right? Where again? In Mount Moriah. What? So, we go back. We told you a while ago, Moriah, the place, the center, the Garden of Eden. Okay? Because our guide, when he told us about the four streams underneath, even in the, what tunnel is that again? Hezekiah's tunnel. And he also, he told us that, and at the same time, if you look at the map, the ancient name of that mountain where the iron the dome,
yeah,
dome, what do you call that, is that, yes, it's a dome, the temple used to be,
okay.
yeah the Dome of the Rock, I think that's the name, right? Yeah. So it's Mount Moriah. Okay, let me if you can try to imagine, this is Mount of Olives. And then there's a valley, and going up Mount Moriah, valley again, and then Mount Zion.
Oh.
So we have three main mountains in a place where God said, "This is mine." Okay? So the thing is that if you're standing on Mount of Olives, you look down below on Mount Moriah, you will see the Golden Gate, which they closed because
another
historical story. They closed it because they don't want the Messiah of the Jews to come. That's why they closed it. Okay, so now facing that, meaning to say you're standing on Mount of Olives. Remember, Mount of Olives is where Jesus was arrested. It was the last place where he was taken by into the hands of the authorities to be crucified. And it is the same place where Jesus will come back.
Whoa.
And when he touched down, you know what happened in Israel on October 7? That's going to happen again and again. I tell you. Because the prophecy says, if you're a Jew, you're watching me right now, you read Zechariah chapter 12. And I tell you, it's the last one, the last October 7, it's not going to be October 7, but the thing that happened on October 7 in a bigger scale will happen in Jerusalem. Take note of that. That is in Zechariah chapter 12. But this is good news. That time, you will no longer need America to rescue you, to give you the armaments, the ammunition. No. Because someone will touch down on Mount of Olives.
Wow.
That's Yeshua HaMashiach. Your king, Jesus, the one you pierced, will touch down on Mount of Olives. Zechariah chapter 12. Your assignment. By the way, we're going to tackle on that in the coming lessons.
Yeah.
I hope next week, but it's a long one. But
okay.
This is a series.
It's going to be fun.
Okay. It's from the what? From the birth to the second coming. Okay. The first coming and the second coming of Christ. That's our series. All right.
Yes.
So, my point is this. So now, where was the Messiah crucified? I will tell you. Okay, let's fuse it.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot be crucified inside Jerusalem. Because people who were crucified are considered accursed.
Mm.
So when the Roman Empire, they crucify people, they do it outside.
Okay.
Outside Jerusalem. And guess what? Guess what? Jesus was crucified in Moriah.
Whoa. Just the parallel the Bible makes. It's just amazing.
Yes. So it's parallel from Genesis, from Adam, the fall of man, where the sin was first committed, to the time Cain and Abel, and then the time of Abraham. You know, Abraham, sacrificing
Isaac,
and then to the very time where the prophecy was fulfilled, it's on Moriah.
The same place.
Same place. But here's the thing. Because it was, there is a wall, it's fence, the city of Jerusalem. So the crucifixion must happen outside. Mm. And at the tip, the northern part of Moriah, that is where they crucified Yeshua. Wow. In fact, they crucified a lot of people long before that. The rebels, those. Why in that place also? Because the northern part of Moriah, they have a place. What do we call this place? It's a place. I don't have it here. Let me see. Well, it's not here. but that place is a road going to Damascus.
Oh.
Okay? So in modern days, it's a place where a bus station. Okay, the bus station. So meaning say, everyone who's going to travel out of Jerusalem, going into Jerusalem,
goes there.
As you pass that road, you will see those people who were crucified. So you will not follow those rebels. That's the point. That's why they want to display the people that they crucified, so that people will not, you know, that people will have, you know, will be afraid of the Roman authorities, and they will submit and not become rebels like them.
It's basically a warning that says, don't be a criminal or you will be like those people.
Yes, you will end up in that in that place. So you will be crucified. So you understand. Now in that place at the northern part of Moriah, outside, just beyond the wall, just beyond the northern wall of Jerusalem, is what we call the skull.
The place of skull.
Because that is where death happens. People being crucified. Okay, and because there is also the hill looks like a skull.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay? But right now, it's deteriorated skull because a lot of debris have fallen. Okay? So, but the thing is, during those days, it really looks like a skull. That's why it's called a skull. It has three names: Skull, Golgotha, Calvary, Northern Moriah.
Wow.
Okay? So, look at this. So, this is a place called Skull or Golgotha. This is the northern wall. So, just beyond the wall is the Golgotha, and farther north of Golgotha is what we call the Garden Tomb. Okay, you can research that. Search that in the internet. The Garden Tomb, or you see, in that cemetery. Mm. Okay, if they are from the archaeological point of view, they found the bones. A lot of bones were there, except for one burial site, which is not a common one. Doesn't look like common because it's from a rich man. But there are no bones, no remains there. In fact, that tomb was not for the one who was buried there. Because the one, these rich people, before they die, okay, they have their tomb prepared.
Mm.
So, according to their size.
Okay.
Okay. But you see, this rich man, he took the body of Jesus, okay, and place it in his tomb, and because Jesus was taller than him, so they have to chisel. Okay,
the wall.
They have to chisel so that
the legs.
Yes, you have to go visit Israel and go to the Garden Tomb. So I don't need to explain more. Okay, but it's so interesting that they said he is not here. There is a word that he is not here. Why? Because
he is risen.
Yes, he's risen from the dead. Amazing! What you read in scriptures, it becomes a reality in Israel. Okay? So, again. So, at beyond the northern city wall, you find Golgotha, the skull, the place called Skull, and farther beyond that, in the next 100 meters. Mm. Okay, from the skull, which is what we call the Garden Tomb, where Jesus was buried, where Jesus rose from the dead.
Mm.
Wow. It's amazing, right? So, by the way, why are we telling you that? Because we just want to tell you that there is a proof that it really did happen. But the stone, okay, the real stone that they used to seal the opening of the tomb, you will not find it because the angel removed it. Okay, yeah. You know the story, but we're not going to read the story to you anymore, but because we want to focus that they also found the the rod that they used to seal off the...
Yeah, the seal.
Yeah, but of course, the metal was eaten by the rust bacteria and all the stuff. But the thing is that they really tried to seal the stone that covers the opening of the tomb so that nobody, no disciple can steal the body of Jesus.
And that's what happened. No disciples stole the body.
Yes, of course.
Because it was something else.
Something else destroyed the rolling stone.
Which was sealed. Wow.
It was so powerful that the guards lost their strength. They just collapsed. Okay, so anyway. So the question now, friends, is this. Okay? Here's the main question, the grand question. We know that Jesus died, he was buried, rose from the dead, and he's coming back. And when the king returns, he will defeat all the nations that are against him. The enemies of God, those who hate God, he is going to defeat them all.
Yes.
He's going to wipe them out. Very quickly. It's not going to, it's not going to happen
for a long time,
2 days. No. Very quickly. Okay, so you need to follow our series. Okay?
Yeah.
So everyone who are against Israel, against his people, against his land, okay, they will all be defeated. Okay? And the Lord is going to save everyone who are under his lordship, those who belongs to him. Now, here's the grand question. When he comes, when Jesus comes, okay, will he be a savior to you or will you be his enemy?
Mm.
He's gonna come. Is he gonna come to save you or he's gonna come to destroy you? Think about that. Okay, so now, if you're not sure, then you are not saved. You don't understand the gospel of Christ. So how can you believe in Christ if you don't understand the gospel of Christ?
Yeah.
How can you be saved? You're not saved. No salvation, without the gospel. Because Bible says, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it is the what?
Power.
The power of God to save those who believe. So how can you believe if you don't know the gospel? So if you don't know the gospel, you are not saved yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So now we are giving you this opportunity to give your life to Jesus. So the question now is, have you ever committed your life to him as your Lord and Savior? If you don't remember a time where you gave your life to Jesus, then this could be the time.
Yeah.
We want to give you that opportunity. Okay? It's to submit your life to him. All right? There's one more scripture we want to read before we lead you into the prayer of salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess your faith and are saved. So you understand that you really need to confess. Because when you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you believe, because that's coming from your heart. Okay, so you will be justified. The Lord on judgment day will say, well, this person is what? Acquitted from sin.
Wow.
You're sinless, you're free, you're made righteous in Christ. Why? Because you believe in what he did for you. You cannot save yourself. We cannot save ourselves. We need a Savior. So if we believe in what Jesus did, he was sent as a sin offering. He died for us, meaning to say it's a substitutionary death.
Mm.
He became our substitute. Instead of us dying for our sins, He died for our sins. He took the blame, okay? He took the blame and nailed it to the cross. So that through Him, we can obtain, we can receive salvation. Yes. Okay, that is how simple it is. Just believe. Repent and believe. Lord, I cannot save myself. I need a Savior. And now we just read to you the nativity of Christ or the birth of Christ. He was born what?
Sinless.
He was born sinless. And He was born a Savior.
Messiah.
Messiah.
The Lord.
The Lord.
The King.
The King. The Ruler. And is coming back.
He is.
So, friends, ladies and gentlemen, maybe to some of you, this is the first time you heard this. You really need to give your life to Jesus. Commit your life to Jesus and say, Lord, now I understand. I repent from my sin. I will follow you. I confess, okay, with my mouth, okay, that Jesus is Lord over my life. Okay? If you want your name to be written in the book of life, you want to surrender your life to Jesus, you want to be saved, you want to receive salvation, this is the only way. Okay? Let me read again. Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Because if you believe that He has risen from the dead, He was resurrected, you see, you believe in this one Lord who was raised from the dead. Why? Because the transaction for our sin was already paid. Yeah. It was completed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when He died in the cross, a sinless person representing humanity, okay, you know what? He died, but He cannot be kept in the grave. He cannot be kept in the grave. Why? Because He is sinless.
Amazing.
And so the Father, okay, rose Him from the dead because transaction is finished, it's complete, it's paid for. So Where do we go? To the Savior, to the Messiah. And what did the Messiah said? He said, you must be born again.
Mm.
Okay? Don't look for religion. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one goes to the Father, meaning to say, no one can transact his salvation to the Father except through me. Through Jesus, John 14, right? So the point is that Jesus did not say, join that religion, join that church. That is the way, that way, this way, what way? No, He said, He is the way. So salvation is found in a person, not in religion, not in buildings, not in whatever. Okay? So if somebody tells you, join a religion, you will say, that is false doctrine.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says, Jesus said, the Savior Himself said, I am the way. So He is the way. Because if you say that your religion can save anyone, guess what? Then all the disciples of Jesus are lost. Why? Because those disciples of Jesus never heard about our religion today. Imagine that.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, He is the way.
Mm-mm.
It is through Him. Okay? So, you have to confess. That's the thing. You must declare. You have to confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, so you'll be saved. Okay? So, let's do that. Alright?
Yeah.
Alright. So, I'm ready. I hope you're ready too. Okay? So, right now, if you want to give your life to Jesus, now you realize that no one is safe because the Bible says, everyone was born enemies of the cross. Why are we enemies of the cross? Because we were born
sinners.
Why are we born sinners? Because from the time of what again?
Adam
to the time of Moses, even to the
all the way
to the present time, okay? All of us have sinned.
Yeah.
One sin qualifies us to hell. So what's the point? So we're lost. We cannot save ourselves. So all are sinners.
And we need a Savior.
We need a Savior. So God knew about this, But because God loves us, He sent a what?
His only Son.
His only Son.
The ultimate sacrifice.
Yes. Why? Because God is holy. You know, in His holiness, He cannot tolerate sin. Remember this. Oh, I thought God is love. Yes, God is love. What is the parallel or the opposite of love? Wrath. So if you say God's love is infinite, God's judgment, God's justice, God's wrath is infinite also.
Wow.
Imagine that. So you do not belong to the love of God. You are in the wrath of God. Okay? Can you read the John chapter 3, 36? Remember this, friends. Just before we pray the prayer of salvation. John 3, 36. Can you read that one?
Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains in him.
Yes. So, you are under the wrath of God for as long as you refuse the gospel of Christ. As long as you reject Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are under the wrath of God. So, it's your choice, life or death. If you choose life, you pray with us. Okay?
So choose life.
Choose life. Choose life. Our God is a God, is pro-life. Alright? The God of this age, of the world, which is the devil, Satan, you know, he loves death. Why? That is something that thrills him. The Bible, John 10:10 says, the thief or Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So that is the signature of Satan. If you belong to a religion that is more of kill, steal, and destroy, that's the devil you're serving. Yeah. So you must think right now. Because the God, the real God of Israel, is so unique. There's no other like Him. He's the one true and living God, the God of Israel. His name is Yahweh, Adonai Elohim. And He said in Isaiah, that is my name. That is my name. So, no longer a rank, but His name. Okay? So, if you're not serving Yahweh, if it's not Adonai Elohim, if it's not the God of Israel, if it's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're not serving the right God. Okay? So, again, if you want to give your life to Jesus, let us pray this prayer right now. Okay? Pray after me. Say, Father in heaven.
Father in heaven.
In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
I pray. I believe. That Jesus died in the cross.
That Jesus died in the cross.
To pay for my sins.
To pay for my sins.
And that He rose from the dead.
And that He rose from the dead.
On the third day.
On the third day.
I confess. That I am a sinner.
That I am a sinner.
And I cannot save myself.
And I cannot save myself.
Forgive my sins.
Forgive my sins.
And cleanse me.
And cleanse me.
With the blood of Jesus.
With the blood of Jesus.
Today,
I entrust my life
to Jesus as my personal Lord
and only Savior.
Amen. So praise the Lord, and thank you so much for joining us today. And for those of you who prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, welcome to the family of God. This is just the beginning of your journey. Okay, there will be more. And Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7 says, so then, just as you receive, you accepted Christ Jesus as Lord. Christ means Savior. Savior Jesus as Lord. It says continue. Okay? Yeah. Continue to live your lives in Him.
Mm.
Next, verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And overflowing with thankfulness. No, so the thing is this. There's going to be a lot of things to learn. You will be taught in the Word of God, because this is part of your spiritual growth. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Along with your spiritual growth is your emotional, your everything. Okay? So, It's very important that you join a Bible study group. We call it DBS, means Discovery Bible Study. Why? Because in a Discovery Bible Study, everyone learns as a group. Yep. Okay? So you kind of read it. Everyone reads a portion of scripture and everyone shares their thoughts. Okay, so isn't that exciting? Okay, so we have we recommend the first four series, first four modules. Okay, each module have at least 10. Okay, sometimes 14, but it depends. Okay, but technically, by standard, we try to sum it up with 10 lessons. Okay,
yeah,
so the first series, Discovering God. Second, Discovering Christ. That's Christology. And then Discovering the Holy Spirit. And then Discovering Spiritual Family. Mm-hmm. So I hope that you can, you know, contact us if you want to open one in your house. You want to host this DBS. Because now that you believe and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to grow.
Yeah.
Okay? Like plants. Plants need to grow first before they can bear fruit.
So do you.
Yes. So I think that's it.
Yeah.
Anything, son?
Well, you know, talking about DBS, I just want to, you know, share that it's really effective. It's really easy and you don't have to be a pastor or a Bible school graduate. You don't have to be any of those amazing roles that you can be. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll just supply you the verses and the you know, it's very easy and very basic.
Yes.
And
all they need to do is facilitate. Right?
And yeah, and if you want to learn more, follow this page, because sometimes if you live in Davao City, this is a treat that Kuya Vidal or any other leader will facilitate a training on how you can be a facilitator and an effective one.
Yes.
So I've been one myself. My wife is too. We've been facilitating and we're still staying strong. We're in the Discovering Spiritual Family series already. And I'm telling you, everyone learns.
Yes.
Even us.
Yes.
So
the fact that
it's amazing.
Your group, your DBS has continued ever since before
years?
The pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even before the pandemic. And they're still there, growing strong. That means to say it's exciting, you know.
That tells a lot about how DBS is engaging.
Mm.
Right. You will learn from someone that doesn't even really read the Bible, but when he reads it or she reads it, and then they will discuss their thoughts about it, you'd be amazed with what you can hear.
That's right.
So I'm telling you, we're all telling you that DBS is going to be fun, and we want you to be a part of it, and we hope this is something that God stirs in your heart.
Yes. And you don't need to be attending, you know, our church to apply DBS. In fact, we will offer DBS to any pastors, you know, to any leaders, denominational leaders who are interested.
Wow.
Okay, we can share with you the materials, you know, the training, very easy. Or even I'm willing to send our pastor to you guys, our leaders, to teach your group how to start DBS. Okay,
why not?
So just. Just
send us a message on this page, and also make sure you follow so you won't miss out.
Yeah, right. So
amazing.
That's all for now, and I hope you're blessed. And don't forget again to click the share button, right? And right now we need to wrap up so we can go to church. Okay. So
yeah.
God bless you all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We pray that everyone who just gave their lives to Jesus will continue to grow. They will find the right church and the right group, study group. And then also, we pray that they will also bear fruit.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Bless all of us as we close. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His peace, both now and forevermore. And all of God's people say, Amen.
Amen.
So God bless you all, and I'll see you again next week. Okay? Bye.